Thanks for taking the time to download this BBC Radio 5 Live podcast. To search for other podcasts you might like, click bbc.co.uk/5live, where you'll also find our terms of use.
Another half hour of the technology phone-in still to come. Fevzi Turkamp from gadgetdetective.com is still with me. Let's take a call first. Martin in Belfast. Martin, what's your question?
Hi, Faye. Hi, Fevzi. Thanks for taking my call. I have an iPhone 6 and an iPad Pro, etc., and I'm being prompted every couple of days to install the latest update. I believe it might be iOS 10. Yep. Just wondering your opinion, really. If there's any bugs, any problems, I'm reluctant to do it if there's any issues. Just wondering what the latest opinion was.
I understand. Are you running iOS 9.3.5 at the moment?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so the latest of the earlier generation. Okay, yeah. So the current version of iOS, so this is the operating system that gives Apple tablets and smartphones their functionality, you know, just as PCs may run Windows, Apple tablets and smartphones run iOS. So, and it comes in various version numbers. The current version is, as you know, Martin, 10.1.1. It's only a few days old. 10.1 certainly had some problems with it because it was deleting users' health data. You know that there's now health applications on there as well that link up with these sort of smart bands and
I heard that there were a few issues with it. Obviously, yeah, you tend to wait a while and let them fix any bugs.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it's been a while now. I just wondered what the latest was.
I'm running 10.1.1 and have been, you know, upgrading from 10 through, but that's because it came with 10 on a brand new device. If I was running a machine with 9.3.5, I would stay where I am for I guess a month or so at least, and keep an eye on what's happening with 10. Just allow it to bed in for a little bit longer, unless you're in desperate need of, you know, some of the additional functionality of 10, but most people will not. 9.3.5 is a mature incarnation.
How long has it been out, Fevzi?
10 came out with the launch of the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. So it's been about just over a month.
Right.
But 10.1.1, I think, is only a couple of days old. So, you know, they fix one thing, they break something else, or they then discover that they haven't fixed it in quite the right way. This is not unique to Apple. It's not criticism of Apple in particular. You know, when Microsoft seem to spend their lives patching, you know, various incarnations of Windows, and it's to their credit that they do so. The other caveat, I mean, I think, Martin, you mentioned that you're running some quite modern machines. You said the iPhone 6 and the iPad Pros. So those will happily run version 10. And one thing that other users of iOS devices have to be aware of is if your device is somewhat older, it may be. So let's say you're running an iPad Mini 2, version 2. That's about 3 years old, I think. That will run version 10. But I don't think it necessarily runs it very well, and your experience of it can be less satisfactory than if you're running, say, version 9. So it's worth doing a little bit of research about how people's experiences of running, in this case, iOS 10, are on your particular machine and version of your machine. So it's worth doing that because at this point, if you go to 10, you can't get back to 9. All right. When 10 first came out, there's a short period in which you can get the old version back, but you can't easily do that now. So you just need to be careful. With your particular devices, Martin, I don't think there's a problem. But if you're running, a 3-year-old device, I'd think carefully before upgrading. The problem is it's a balance because on the one hand, you want something that's going to run quickly. On the other hand, as time goes by, new apps won't run on oldest versions of the operating system. So support for the older version will start to fall away, but that won't happen yet. Most programs will run on 9 as well as 10.
Okay, understand. Thanks very much. Appreciate your time, Fevzi.
Cheers, Martin. Bye now.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye. Good night, Faye.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your call, Martin. Nigel has said, sent a text saying, while I'm awake, may I ask if there's a problem? Oh, I can hear your answer to this already, Fevzi. may I ask if there's a problem using the same password for two different email addresses?
It will work. It's not advisable because if your password and email address is hacked, then it's possible that they may be able to apply that password to another email address. It may be, for example, that on one website you've somehow made them aware of both email addresses. You know, sometimes they ask you to provide a secondary email address, or sometimes you may have just created a second account using the second email. If you've done that, then they can potentially use that to hack both email accounts. So I would never do that. I would always have separate passwords per email, and separate passwords for every account that you create on a website.
And that's you told, Nigel, isn't it?
Well, Nigel probably, I think, suspected the answer to that question because of the fact that he asked it at all.
Yeah, so. Okay. Edith, we've got a call from Edith. How can we help? Or, sorry, how can Fevzi help? I can't generally help at all, Edith.
Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Hello, Edith.
Fine, thanks. I haven't been using my computer. It's an old computer, but it's quite a good one. I can't remember what it is now, because I haven't used it for so long. What I need to know is, when I do open, it needs some extra hard drive. There was only about 400 and something, or something like that. It was a small amount, considering what was on the hard drive before. So I'd used it all up. I've got a lot of pictures and things like that on there. And, you know, I wanted it to... I was so scared I'd lose things.
Yes.
But now that they say that if you have Windows 8 or 7 or 8, you wouldn't get... all the stuff will just disappear. And is that true? When I put my, I have a hard drive to put in, and when I get round to doing that, would I not get my stuff back?
So you're wanting to install Windows 10, but you're not sure whether you should keep your old operating system. Is that right, Edith? Is that what you're...
No. What it is, I said, I kept it like that because I was scared to use it anymore because the hard drive, the amount of... space I had
it was almost full. Yeah.
Okay.
It was almost full. So I got the another hard drive, and I have a desktop one as well.
Yes.
And I wanted to put everything that I had onto that to save.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just wanted to know, have I got to update like to 10? Just because people.
Yeah. Okay, so Edith, if I may ask you a couple of questions. Do you know which version of Windows your machine is currently running?
I think 8, but I did
Windows
lose
8.
A lot of stuff, which I couldn't find before, you know, my emails and something,
okay.
Some things went.
So if it's 8 or 8.1... It's neither one thing nor the other. If you'd have said 7, I'd have said to you, stay as you are. Or if you have,
I think 7 is still on there.
As 8?
I'm not sure.
That would
to
be
honest
unusual.
With you, it's about 5 years ago, and
okay.
I can't really remember because I had some.
If it's five years ago, Edith, and it hasn't been switched on for 5 years, it won't be running Windows 8. It may be running 7 or Windows XP, most likely.
I definitely had both of those.
Okay, all right.
And I didn't necessarily... I think with Google, I got a new system. They had a new system up there, on there.
Can you help, Fevzi? What do you think?
All right.
Where do we start? There's
a number of possibilities. All right, Edith. So my advice to you is this. Whilst keeping the machine disconnected from the internet, start it up and see what version of the operating system that you're running. It will tell you as you start it up what you're running. If you are running Windows XP, which is very old, that's no longer supported and it's not safe to run. So that would definitely need an upgrade. If it starts up and it starts up as Windows 7, I'd say stay as you are, particularly if it's an older machine. It may not have all the support that's required for it to run the current Windows 10 operating system. If you start it up and you're running Windows 8, you may choose to continue with Windows 8. It is still supported, or you may choose to go to Windows 10. So that's a personal choice. In terms of the hard drive being very full, This is a problem because not only does it mean you can't store more things on there, it would probably prevent you from doing an upgrade because the upgrade process itself will need some hard drive space. And also, the hard drive isn't just somewhere where you store your things, your photos and something. It's a working area that the computer needs itself to function. So if you've got less than, let's say, 10% of the total drive space free, then you're going to compromise the speed at which the computer can run because you're hampering it. You're effectively tying, you know, one of its arms behind its back, as it were. So the way around that, and you've mentioned that you've got a separate desktop drive that you've bought. So the way around that would be either to do, or I would say both of these, if you have the possibility, do a complete backup, an image of the hard drive completely, copy it bit by bit, using backup software onto the external drive, just in case things go pear-shaped. In addition to that, having done that first, I would then copy off all the photos and so forth onto the external drive, and then make a second copy of those somewhere else. If they're treasured photos, make at least two copies and keep one of them in a separate location. Once you've done that, you can delete those photos. Once you make sure you've got two safe, retrievable copies of those photos, delete those photos and anything else that's taking up a lot of space on there, be it, you know, movies or video clips or photos or music. You can delete those off the system once you've made very sure you've got two copies of it. That should then give you enough space. I would then run a free software program called CCleaner, the letter C followed by the word cleaner, to clean up any bits and bobs that shouldn't be on there, and just do a little bit of a quick spring clean of your system. I would then start it up and make sure that I've got an up-to-date antivirus program, because that's almost certainly expired in the meantime. I would do that, and then run all the Windows updates, get the system running well with the operating system it's got, and then consider whether you need to upgrade beyond that.
Edith, thank you for your call. That's Edith in Peterborough. Michael has got a call for us as well. Michael in Shipton-on-Stour. How can we help, Michael?
There was an app that HSBC were offering me for mobile banking.
Mm.
Amongst the permissions they wanted, access to my photos, media and files.
Yeah.
As well as my contacts and my location and a long list of permissions. And I asked HSBC why they wanted these permissions. And they said, well, that's standard Google practice. Google always asks for these permissions. So I don't use that app on my Google devices, but I do use the same app on my Apple devices, which don't seem to ask for the same permissions.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, Michael, where did it ask you for permission? Because that suddenly worried me, because I have an HSBC banking app on my Apple phone, and it never asked me for anything like that.
They don't ask for permissions.
Yeah.
But if you look, if you have a Google device and you try to load the app and then look for the permissions that they're asking for before you load the app onto your device, but certainly before you open it, you can see what permissions they want.
Well done for looking at those permissions, okay. Michael, because I have to say most of us, including myself, just click yes.
Absolutely, Michael. Okay, so I personally wouldn't give any of that access to any of that information, photos and contacts. That's precious. They don't need it for the app to function. You can always access through the browser. You don't have to use their app, and that will mean that you don't have to give it those permissions if you need to access it via an Android device from Google.
Yes. Okay.
I would say that I would just point out as a general point that Apple make their living out of selling you devices and services. Google make a large part of their living by collecting as much information about you as possible and using it to hone their advertising products that they sell. So the more that you know about your customer, the better you can target advertising, the more that's more value that has to advertisers. It also allows them to provide you in some cases with better services. So for example, their voice activated assistant is smarter than Siri, because it just knows more about you. Imagine you had a personal assistant, a human being. That assistant's going to be more effective if they know all about you, but you really have to be able to trust your assistant before divulging the most personal information, but with that information, they could probably assist you better. So in that sense, some of Google's services work better. Having said that, this is a banking app. It's not rocket science. It doesn't need a great deal of artificial intelligence. And therefore, if there's no obvious reason why it needs access to your photos or contacts, then do not give it. That's very private information.
No, but that means you can't use the app then without those permissions, because
no,
they're all
but,
together, don't
but you,
they?
But you can access the site via yeah.
Yeah, but there's so many mobile banking apps being promoted at the moment that I just wonder, you know, is this creeping in through the back door? All this trawling for information.
Yeah, I mean, this is a general problem with apps, and you're right to look at the permissions. So the permissions on an app are what permission are you giving to the app? What can it access? You know, can it access, for example, your location? Can it access your photos? Can it access your contacts? Whatever it is. So let's say you've got an app that helps you learn to sing. Obviously, that app will need to access your microphone. If you've got a banking app, it may not need to access your microphone. So you have to make an assessment and say, are they just making a grab for whatever data they can get? Or is there a genuine reason why they need this? And even if there is, are you willing to share it? Once you've shared it, you know, even if you unshare it, they may not delete or relinquish that information, so think carefully before you do that. Apps can be overrated, you know, often they don't provide a lot more than the browser experience. So I would say to you,
sometimes a lot less.
Yes, absolutely. So look at accessing it through the browser. If you can make that work to your satisfaction, that's probably going to yield you better privacy.
Okay, Michael, thank you so much for your call. Really interesting. Andrew in Somerset's got a problem. Guess what with? Windows 10.
Okay.
Go on, Andrew. How can we help?
And good morning. Fascinating.
Good morning.
Yes, I'll try and be quick. I've recently bought a Windows 10 version for my computer because 7 wasn't being updated. I was having problems with AVG, which I run, because it's saying it's not updated. And so anyway, I bought the Windows 10. I'm not using their free one. I've deleted most of the apps because I've no application at all. I've not got a mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
And but the problem I'm having that really annoys me with this are the Windows updates.
Yep.
Because with the old systems, going all the way back with Microsoft, you had a dialog box where it said update now, and you could click it.
Yes.
And it started to download immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But Windows 10 doesn't do that. And the last update I had, it took 2 weeks.
Well, okay. So the Windows 10 does still do updates to the operating system, and it can and should still be set to auto update. The precise way in which you do it is slightly different. The reason why it would, I mean, 2 weeks is a very long time, but when you get a new operating system, did you get it on a disk?
No, it came on a stick. I bought it from an outlet.
I understand, but the fact that you've not sort of downloaded it, i.e. having the very latest version of the code, there will be the first time you install it, it will wake up and it will realize that it's now months later, and that many updates have taken place between when that the file on that memory stick was created and Windows 10 as it is today.
Well, all the latest updates, it's running, it's finally downloaded 1607, is it?
But that's why it would have taken a long time, although 2 weeks seems excessive. I mean, do you have a particularly slow internet connection?
No, it's extremely fast. I run Xbox. I've got an Xbox 360. I video stream. I haven't got a television.
Yep.
I don't have a mobile phone. And I've cleared most of the apps. I've uninstalled most of the apps. I can't put up with all this stuff.
Okay, so
there's no way of manually doing it, is there?
Of manually updating?
No. I can't find, even in the advanced section, there's nothing that says download now, that I can click it and it will start to download and override. Yeah. There's a time thing, isn't it, when your computer's asleep dialogue.
Yeah. There are ways of preventing automatic updates, but first of all, that's not a good idea, even though Microsoft has recently been abusing the update system to try and push people to Windows 10. That is now, for Windows 10 users, that's not a problem because they've got what they wanted. They already have you on Windows 10. But I wouldn't suggest that you do manual updates, disable the automatic updates and do them manually.
Well, I can't disable it. There's no way around it.
But there is a way, but you're playing sort of King Canute because you can only hold back the tide for so long, and then eventually it will do the updates no matter what you say. So there are ways, because corporate users will not stand for that, because they are very conservative and they need a system that's predictable, and they can't have it auto updating all the time. So auto updates can be disabled, but I just wouldn't recommend it. Why is it that you want to prevent it from auto updating?
Well, I'm not preventing it. I'm not preventing it at all. I've got AVG. I've got AVG antivirus. I've also got AVG PC tuner.
Mm.
And I run those every Sunday. It's a Sunday afternoon job. I do a maintenance with the tuner, and I do a full scan.
Yep.
And the AVG for me is great. I've had it for about 15 years. I mean, even they're getting overcomplicated, but still, it's... I've always had it. But this thing with the Windows 10 update and this dialog box, which goes up when you're not using your computer and the times that you're asleep, or when the computer's not being used is when they want to do the download. Yeah. But, I mean, it didn't seem to work for me at all. And I've been on the internet, and many other people have the same problem with it being updates are not being...
It's tricky. By default, automatic updates are switched on for Windows for the updates that are relating to the most important updates, the ones that offer security. And the fact that it spent that amount of time updating suggests that that's what it's done. It may just be that at the moment there are no further updates to come down.
Right.
So that would be, without looking into the detail, that would be my comment. I think it's probably is working. It might just be that there's nothing to come down.
Right, I understand. Okay.
Otherwise, do call back. I'm happy to try and help further, but you may find it is actually working.
Andrew in Somerset, thank you for your call. I hope Febsy's shed some light there for you. Another question before we go to the news, very quick one. My wife recently gave her phone and email details as part of the M&S voucher scam. What should she do now to protect herself from identity theft? Was it a text or a WhatsApp that came around asking you to click on a link to collect a free voucher? And then when you entered your details, entered your details.
So
is your phone at risk there?
The worst risk is to the email address, and as we mentioned before, to the fact that can, access to your email account can be used to reset your passwords. So first thing is change the password on your email account straight away. Make sure that you can do that. Consider changing your email address altogether. And then if you can set up a second email address, then go to any websites that you've been to before and change the details to a different email address. I know that's a pain. This is why I advise people to use password management software, because if you do need to make these sort of rapid wholesale changes to all your online accounts, it's much easier to do if you're using password manager software such as LastPass or 1Password. They're two of the better known and better respected ones.
Okay, Fevzy, thank you so much. Thank you for your company. Thank you to everybody for all your calls and all your texts. We could keep going, really, for another hour.
On digital and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
bbc.co.uk/5Live.